You might like to turn in your Bible to 2 Peter and chapter 3. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, here we are. In the light of all that's going on across the face of the earth. And God, we're waiting, looking to you. So thank you that we can just have a time, your day, your time, for your outworking, that we would have the wonderful benefits, to be able to be, as it were, on the cutting edge of all that you're doing. And our God, we're looking to you. So help us in every way. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise of Revelation in chapter 5 a little bit, and in trying to see that in a ever-increasing way. So in 2 Peter, as we shared, in Malachi 2 and 17, where is the God of judgment? He doesn't judge. And we went through and did that two or three times to remind us what? That the world, God isn't acting enough to be God. So therefore, us humans are able to be godless. We don't have to think about God. God doesn't make himself known very much. So why do we have to even consider God? Now, and that's Malachi, we come to the New Testament, and they crucified Christ, etc. So when we come to the after the crucifixion, and here's the church seeking to bear witness to God's grace. And as you know, in 2 Peter 3, as in the end of the Old Testament, so as we come to the New, and we come down, if I can, verse 3. 3:3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, mockers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, everyone has died. All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. In other words, nothing's changed. And for this they willingly are ignorant. They choose to be ignorant. That's like in Romans chapter 1. They choose to be ignorant. And this they willingly are ignorant of that. By the word of God, the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water, and in the water, in other words, the Genesis flood, whereby, verse 6, the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. They don't want to know about that. But that's a judgment that changed. What did the judgment do? It changed how people in the world think about God. Before the Genesis flood, we just knew there's God, but we could sort of just be indifferent to him, and we'll just do our own thing. We don't have religion, we don't have politics, we don't have anything. We just have us doing what we do. The Genesis flood judgment brought about what? God does something about bad stuff. And they did evil continually, Genesis 3, 6 and verse 5. More so. And God judged it. So after the Genesis flood, we got Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel, the religious system and the political system. They built the tower and the city, etc. We did all these things. And they have it. So now we know there's a God judgment because we're the survivors, as it were, after the flood. So now we're going to go and look, and we got to go. God needs to be satisfied. They didn't do any sacrifices, no thanksgiving, no sacrifice We just did what we did. But we can't do that anymore. The flood tells us judgment got to stop. So now, but he hasn't judged. He hasn't judged. What have we done to compensate? And think you know all the Isaiah 5:20 and all of that. We've woe unto you, all of us, that turn and we call evil good and good evil, light darkness and darkness light, bitter sweet and sweet bitter. We turn everything upside down. We have religion. We have politic. We have some way to compensate in our head and heart to be comfortable in the fact that we're in the presence of God and the judgment of God, but we don't want to have to think about that. So we discount what the Genesis flood. We're able to go and make believe it never happened. It never happened. So what? So that we can live comfortably. So what are they saying as we read in Peter? Where is the promise of his coming? And that we're ignorant of it willfully. Now, the point as you're reading, and reading that wonderful section, verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. So it's judgment's coming. See? But we don't want to think about judgment. Hang on. Now, so that sliding down verse 9. Well, verse 8, boy. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. God doesn't go by time as you and I do. God's just doing everything in order. We have time and say, it hasn't happened yet. That's what the world says. Where is the God of judgment? It hasn't happened. But time isn't the issue. It isn't for God, but it is for us now. So therefore, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, long before being angry, to usward, to us believers. He's long before being angry with us believers, us, the writer, Peter, long before being angry with us. Why? It could, because, the end of verse 9, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God allows the believing as the church goes downhill all the way to where we are today, looking for a soon coming. He allows it to go downhill. Why? Because it's his testimony. It may not be very good. It may not be like it could be, like with they shared with wanting, having one. But as the Father sent me, so send I you, with all the glory of God and the goodness of God and the greatness of God. We don't have that. But here we are assembled, likely so, looking to God, being reminded about God by the communion, being reminded about God. So we're here in the light of everything. The hurricanes and everything are all there. They're all there. And the world system is tend to get very complacent. We have a hurricane, a bad one, and all these different things, war, Ukraine, and they're doing all the dumb things over there, our country is, I think, not helping things. And so in the process of it all, we just sort of slide along. And as long as our little routines, generally speaking, across the world, can exist. If I'm a communist in China, I may not be. If I don't fit in, I could end up one of the concentration camps or being cut up and sold for parts of the body, whatever. I have to fit in. Everyone fits in without God. Without God. We don't have to think about God. And we really don't think about God. Now, hang on to that. But the day, verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So God, I'm really going to clean house after the kingdom. I'm going to clean house. I'm going to tell you, this is going to be, am I going to fix this thing? Now, having said that, well, I don't believe that, see. Where's the God of judgment? Now, all of that, Revelation chapter 5, you don't have to turn there yet. Revelation 5, the Lamb of God. Remember, who's going to open the scroll, the seven-sealed scroll, sealed up, and in it contains the last judgments. God's awesome. The judgments that you say will never happen and that are so awesome, the hurricane looks like nothing to the judgments that are coming. And the hurricane was pretty bad, if you ask me, especially if you were up near the water. I mean that just leveled. That's nothing compared to what's coming. Now, so hang on, in the light of that. So here's the Lamb, Genesis, the Revelation 5 and verse 6. And the Lamb, God, who's going to open the book, remember? Who's worthy to open the book, said John. And the elder said, the Lamb of God that is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, of the son of David, the line of David, the Lamb, verse 6, the Lamb that was slain, he is able to open the book. That's what I want to look at. The Lamb that was slain. And remember we shared, there's the word Lamb. John the Baptist will say the Lamb, a big, full-grown Lamb. John the Baptist will say, behold the Lamb of God that what? Taketh away the sin of the world. That's the big Lamb, big Lamb. And that's used two or three times. But when we come to Revelation and the judgment, we have the word Lamb, which means a little, small, tiny Lamb, a young Lamb, a little Lamb, small, little Lamb. That's used 29 times, I think, 29 times in the book of Revelation. And the only Lamb you have in the whole outworking of Genesis, Revelation, all the way to the end, is the little Lamb. He's the one that does everything. Now, my question, the little Lamb that was slain, and if you can use your imagination if you like, as you wish, and I'm standing with John reading, and I'm trying to consider in a very limited way what he sees. He sees the Lamb. He sees a lamb that had been slain, as if it had been slain. That's what he sees. A lamb that's been crucified. That's what he sees. It isn't a lamb. It's a lamb as if what I see is a man, as if he is a as if a lamb had been slain. Then what is Christ? Christ is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. So we're going to see, I don't see a lion and a strong lamb. I see a little lamb as it had been crucified. Not very impressive. Not very impressive? Most awesomely impressive. Why? That's what I want to answer. Why is that impressive? Go with me, please, over to Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, and chapter 52. Isaiah in chapter 52. Now, keeping in mind as we go, we're looking at God's wonderful, 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 what he's going to do in recovering the enemies and the kingdom and all of these things. So, when we come down, if I can, in the light of everything, time, verse 13, behold, my servant shall act prudently. The word prudent, wise, 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 wise. Some will translate it properly, But wise, wise, he isn't. You'll catch it. My servant shall act, shall deal prudently or wisely. He shall be exalted, wonderfully, wonderfully, wonderfully exalted in a most wonderful way. And the cause to be, the word exalted, to be on high, to be lifted up in triumph. The and what else? It will be extolled, extolled. Passive, it means to be lifted up again, to be lifted up, to lift up. What is Christ going to do when and he tells you that? John 12, if I be lifted up, he's talking about his crucifixion. If I be lifted up on that cross, lifted up. Hang on. Now, so what are we going to say about your wonderful, wonderful servant, God, the Lord Jesus Christ? And you're going to say, here's the Lord. Is exalted, he's extolled to be very high. That's right. Now, but, verse 14, he's the lamb. In order to be the lion, he has to be the lamb. You can't have a kingdom when there is no one to be king to. They're all lost. All dead in sins. You got nobody, as it were. We'd have to start all over again. No, he's going to die. He's going to die for them. That's what he's going to do. Therefore, verse 14. So we don't see him as the Savior, as the God saving us. We see him how? Verse 14. As many were astonished at thee, they have been astonished at thee. And the appearance, his appearance is marred, disfigured. His vintage, disfigured, was so marred more than any man. His form more than the sons of men. You couldn't look at him. He was so beat up, so twisted because of people treating him. Verse 15. So shall he sprinkle, bring together. The word sprinkle means to bring everyone together. Many nations, he'll bring many nations to him. The kings shall shut their mouths at him for that which had not been told them they shall see. In other words, who is he? The Pharaoh. Who is the Lord that I should obey him? And the kings of the earth say, "Who?" And what are they doing now? Who is God that we should even honor him? That's the point. Their mouths at him, for which had not been told them, they shall see. And when they find out who he is, verse 15, and that which they had not heard, shall they consider. They never, who is he? There he is, the Lamb. We never would consider him. We never would consider him. Who is he? Nobody. Crucified. Beaten up. Who cares? He's another lamb, a sheep, among thousands of sheep that have been sacrificed. What's the difference, you see? And hang on here for a sec, and let me try, if I can, over to 1 Corinthians, hang into the chapter. 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, interestingly enough. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 2, in verse 6. Howbeit we speak in wisdom, remember wisdom, among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world, that come to naught, it comes to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. They would not have crucified the Lord Christ. Christ. They never, Pharaoh, the priest, no one would ever raise a hand if they knew who it was. They would have never done it. They will know. They will know. The little lamb that you didn't want to know, you will know. He's the judge of the earth. You're going to see the little lamb. How are you going to see them? You're going to see him in a nail-pierced way. You crucified him. That's how you're going to see him. And you'll know. You'll know what you did. You should have known, but you didn't. Now, back over to Isaiah. Over to Isaiah 53. Who, coming right off of chapter 52, we come right to verse 1, 53:1. Who hath believed our report? Who pays any attention? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? God, in Isaiah, he tells you what he's going to be. So if I was a Jew or anyone reading back then, when I looked and saw the Lord out there, I would say, boy, I'm going to look, because he isn't going to look so special that he's going to be 50 feet tall and everything. He's going to be just an ordinary, I'm going to be looking for him now. Therefore, 52, he shall grow up, verse 2, before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. See? Now I say, why? He's going to be the little lamb. He's God. He marched into Jerusalem to be crucified on a little donkey, and everyone better pay attention. But they don't pay attention. So verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Where did all this misery come from for him? In from us. He's carrying our miseries, as it were. Yet we did esteem him stricken. Remember, our Lord was able to be tempted, tested. He would feel everything to the nth degree. You and I feel pain, heartache, we laugh, all the different things we do to a little degree. We have a little bit. We never, never get it full. We just never, we think we do, but we don't. Jesus Christ had nothing to interfere, no sin. All of it came upon him in its fullness of the heartaches and headaches and everything. The fullness came on him. It did a number. It did. Now, please note, if we can, in verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Now, underline in your mind, verse 6, all we are like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So now you got the picture. The lamb is slain. Boy, he's just nobody. In the light of just being nobody, would you go with me over to Matthew? And in Matthew, picking up, please, picking up in Matthew and chapter 10, I think. Matthew in chapter 10, picking up the thought, and in the light of that. So, in Matthew chapter 10, picking up, if I can get there myself, do chapter 13 for time. can't do time. Chapter 13 of Matthew, and you'll pick it up. In chapter 13, picking up, please, in verse 53, and it came to pass that when Jesus was finished, had finished these parables, remember we did that, Matthew 13, he departed thence. It wasn't a very positive message. It was a wonderful message, but not very encouraging to the people. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? This man, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, half-sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended, stumbled at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not, N-O-T, many mighty works there because of their unbelief. What? No. I'm looking at him traveling, growing. He's 30 years old, and he has 3 1/3 years of ministry. How do the people see him? They saw him as just a man, just an ordinary man. They see him, a carpenter's son, that's all. Over to John. And in John chapter 6, just reminding yourself, because we're answering, trying to, why does he appear as a little lamb that's been crucified? Because no one believed. No one believed. No one received. They rejected him. They rejected him. Therefore, who did you reject? The one you crucified. He's the one you rejected. And you'll know it. Now, so therefore, chapter 6, and you'll pick up, please, if I can, in verse 41. And the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they, verse 12, 42, and they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Sliding over to verse 52. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Chapter 10, as you know, chapter 10, verse 33. And in chapter 10 and verse 33, you would recall, and the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. They just wouldn't recognize him. Recognize who? John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten God, full of grace and truth. But no one saw it. They didn't want to see it. Do you know, if you don't want to see something, you won't. Interestingly, isn't it? You won't. If you don't want to hear something, isn't it interesting how you can hear a whole thing, and when it's all done, you couldn't recall it because you didn't want to hear it? You can hear, ears to hear, but we don't hear as we should. Therefore, there's nothing coming, going in any way that brings us to the wonderful, wonderful place of understanding a God is God. But we don't want to understand that. And therefore, we don't applaud and bow and honor him even his disciples in 3 1/3 years. They were awed by him. They never could participate except when he let them and had them cast out demons and things. He had them do those things. But in the process, and so they didn't. And the world, what did the world do? Well, they went to go, and remember, they took him. Go with me over to Luke 23. And in Luke 23, picking up, please, in verse 14, 23:14. Then said unto them, you have brought this man unto me, this is Pontius Pilate, as one that perverteth the people, and behold, I have examined him before you, and have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod hasn't either. He didn't find any problem. For I sent you unto him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of a necessity he must release one of them at the feast, according to the custom. Verse 18. And they cried out, all at once. So you can know, no planning. They were programmed. They cried all at once, saying, away with this man, release unto us Barabbas. Away with him. We have no king but Caesar. So what are we doing? We have no, all the way to the crucifixion, and we have an empty cross and an empty tomb. That's what we look at, an empty cross and an empty tomb, and hopefully the whole thing's all gone away. Hopefully it's all gone away. Where is the God of judgment anyway? It's all gone. We'll just keep going. Now, having said that, over if I can, in Luke, and picking up, please, Luke, chapter 19. Luke 19. And you'll catch it, the parable, but just part of it so you see it. Verse 12. And the Lord Jesus said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Be testimony, bear witness to who I am. Verse 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Not that man. We have no king. Not that man. Sliding over, if I can, to verse 27. But those enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. They didn't want. We don't want you to be king. We don't want you to be who you are. So how are you going to present yourself? I'm going to present myself as a little lamb. You crucified me. I'm glorious. God's glorious. But you're going to see me as a little lamb. And the little lamb is none other than the Lord, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's God. And you crucified him. So all the judgment is exercised. From whom? By whom? The little lamb, who you said would never judge. Would never judge anybody. Just let it all go. No. Now, keeping that in mind, so God's dealing with our heads and hearts and all of these things. And God is helping us to understand. So back over to chapter 5. In Revelation chapter 5. And may I pick up, please, in thought, in chapter 5, going directly, if I can, to verse 6. And I beheld, said John, I'm looking with my eyes, and lo, in the midst of the throne, in the middle of all the angels and all the everything that's going on, as we read in chapter 4, etc., in the midst of all that's happening, who's in the middle of the whole everything? God is. And in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. The word stood is in the perfect, was standing. He isn't sitting, he's standing. Standing, that's how we see it. The little lamb is standing. A little lamb, that's the beginning of the little lambs. The little lambs. And stood a lamb as it had been slain, as it had. It wasn't a lamb. It was a man who was crucified. We saw a little man who was crucified. Now, and so, maybe as a help, well, here's us humans, and all of us vary in height and all of those things. But there's an average height. Very rarely do we see somebody 18 feet tall. We just don't see them. We just don't see them. That man is your size. That man. Crucified. That man. Not much. He's the middle. He's the boss. He's God. The man, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God. In a human. Ah, wow. Now, and we saw a lamb as it had been slain. And without taking the rest of that, slaughtered. The word slain, slaughtered, to be killed by violence, to be sacrificed. One, as it were, having his form, his appearance, his external form, his appearance as the Son of Man. Son of Man, chapter 1. Of Revelation, John, seeing God in his marvelousness. So you understand, you'll see the difference. In his introduction, in the light of God's dealing with his heart, here's John the apostle, the last living apostle, and here he is. And the Lord makes himself known to him, to give him all these wonderful, wonderful things. Where is the truth? Where is the word going to come from about all of the wonderful things that are going to happen in Revelation? They're coming from him. Verse 12, I turned to see the voice that spake unto me, and I turned and I saw seven golden lampstands, seven churches, each golden. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded with paps, with a golden girdle, and his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as the flame of fire, his feet like unto fine brass, etc., etc., etc. That doesn't look like a little lamb, does it? But that's how we saw him, until he was taken up and given the vision to given to see how the future's going to go, and that's chapter 5. He sees it. But what happened to the Lord in his magnificent, in the churches? What's he doing? He's as a consuming fire in the church. Look at chapter 2. Unto the church, unto the angel, the messenger of the church of Ephesus, right? These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars. That's the seven messengers, and in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. He's walking, literally walking in his churches. He's walking, and we're always in his presence. He's walking. We walk up and down the aisles. He walks among us, as it were. He walks among us. That's what he does. I don't see him. I don't hear him. I don't smell him. I don't see him. Ah, But there he is. Where you are, I am. Now, hang on. Therefore, would you pick up in thought, verse 7, in the light of the Spirit of God, what are you going to do? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The Spirit of God is what? So the Spirit of God is helping us. That's what we're reading the Bible. That's why we're in his presence. God's saying what he says. He says what he means and says what he wants to say in the way he wants to say it. And I say it, I'm reading it. That's all I'm doing. And what? Letting God be God. And God said, I'm an awesome God. But I want you to know when John saw me, to understand how it's going to go. I want you to know the one who's coming to take us is the Son of Man, the Son of God. But when, and he's going to do that in a wonderful way, even so tonight. But in the light of that, he's going to go and open that seal. He's going to be the judge directly. Hang on to Revelation chapter 6. In Revelation chapter 6, and you will note, going if I can, in verse 13, number 6, verse 13. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken by a mighty wind, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled up, two together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Now God said, I'm going to open up so you can see. But the sun, the moon, the skies. God said, I'm going to help you understand. I'm going to open it all up so you can see. Can't miss it. Verse 15. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman, people that work and employees, employers and everything else, and every free man hid themselves in dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. He's going to come. Going to come as a little lamb. And the world's going to know what we did, what we crucified him. You aren't going to try that again. No, sir, not again. You're going to face the judgment. That man is appointed to be judge. Acts 17, 31. The one resurrected from the grave, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the man, underline, that man is going to judge everybody. He's going to judge all men, women, humans. He's the rightful judge, the little lamb that is crucified. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, in the light of heaven's wonderful, wonderful working. So, he's at the right hand, the little lamb is at the right hand of the Father, and he's without spot and without blemish. And the nail prints, Revelation chapter 1, when he comes, Revelation 1, as you know, when he comes, every eye shall see him. Revelation 1, verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, the nail prints in his hand, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. They're all going to see what? Who am I going to see? You're going to see the little lamb who you crucified. And you'll know, you'll identify, you're going to see his hands and his feet. You won't see the hole in his side. Remember, it didn't get healed because he has no blood. Now, in the process, he does all of that in a most wonderful way. And what are we going to do? I just want you to understand a little bit that God is going to go in his magnificent, magnificent way to tell us that worthy is the Lamb that has been slain to open this scroll, to do all the judging. Who is qualified to do such horrendous things on planet Earth? Revelation 6, 7 through 19. Who is qualified? The little lamb is. The little lamb that was slain, he's qualified. But he isn't. Oh, yes, he is. And you'll know him, because that's how you're going to see him, as the crucified Son of Man. And you will know. You will know him. He's the judge. And what are we doing? We're taking of the Lord's table, as he tells us. For what? Do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't become like the system, lax and lazy. And we don't think. We don't think about God. We don't even have a sense of God. How magnificent. You're in the presence of God. You can't get out of it. God's able to do, as we said in Jeremiah and Wednesdays and all of that, God's able to do extreme, wonderful things. And he doesn't need anything to do it. He just loves doing it. He just likes being who he is. He likes being God. He practices being God because he is God. He can be nothing else, nothing other than God. That's what he's going to do. And what are we doing? We ought to be mindful of him in our daily life with thanksgiving. Thanking God in how much? In what? Everything. Everything, giving thanks to God. Why? Because God is constantly doing everything to keep it going in your little life and mine. The heartbeat, the flow of blood, the systems all working. Wow, that's how we live. God keeps us. And as we get saved, and like we said, 1 Corinthians 6, 19, 20, and we get saved, and all of a sudden, the fingernails that were mine are now his. They're now his. And remember, I shared this with you 100 years ago in the process when I was trying to help my dad and mom in Boston a long time ago. And in the process, I tried to help them, and they were raised in a Methodist church like I was. And so in the process, that you really didn't have. You had to help them because they didn't have no encouragement. Every week you go to church, but you'd never be sensitive to God. So, and my father would say, well, God really doesn't care. He had a little thing he was doing, He said, it didn't work. And God doesn't care. I said, well, now let me help you, Dad. Now, you have your teeth, whatever you have left of your teeth. You got your teeth. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, those teeth were claimed by God. Those are his teeth. Those are his teeth. It's his body. It's your body, that's correct, but it's his teeth. And God's going to use that body because you understand it, and you, as a believer, and you're going to look for God to outwork it. Apart from God, you have to be like the evolutionist or the Chinese socialist, Marxist, whatever you want. You have to be that, and you got nothing. Nothing, you got nothing. You start with nothing, have nothing, and end up with nothing. That's the system. Big system, wonderful system. No, it isn't. And God does a wonderful thing for us. I got to quit in the process. And God's going to go and do a wonderful thing. So what are we doing? We're taking in remembrance of him. That's what we're doing. We're reminding ourselves of a great God and a great Savior. And I don't want to make him just a little bit. I remember him now maybe as much as I can think about him in my mind. God, I want you to help me to understand. I don't want to forget you. I don't want to lose the marvelous relationship you have made possible because you died on the cross and rose again. And when I look at the cross, I find myself. And everyone in the world can look at the cross. And if they don't find themselves, they never get saved. But they are there. And their names are there. Remember, the names of everyone ever born is all written. They're all written down. And they're there. Christ died for them. There they are over there. There they are over there. Christ died for them. Christ died. The wages of sin is what? The wages of sin is death. That's why he had to die. He had to pay the penalty. Think of Sunday school. The wages of sin is death. He got to shed his blood. Wow. So what are we looking at? God's awesome, wonderful person is going to be and do what he does, and we need to be looking to him and trusting him so that we are able to stay fresh and conscious of him in a good way. We have a walk by faith and not by sight. We have a wonderful Heavenly Father, and we want to pay attention to him. And we don't want to say, well, God doesn't care. But God does care. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all what? Casting all your care upon him, because he careth for you. Giving thanks in everything. You got it? So our life is, we're never alone. We're never alone. We're never without resource. No matter how terrible everything is, you're never without resource. And your relationship to God is untouchable if you're saved. You cannot, that relationship in your heart to the living and only God, it's invincible. You can't touch it. No one can touch it, ever, ever. That's why God said, don't worry about your body. I don't need flesh and blood. I don't need it. But you, nothing, Romans 8, I got to quit. Nothing shall separate you from what? The love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. That's the relationship. And that's what you're brought into when you got saved. It's an awesome thing. Do this in remembrance of me. The world doesn't remember, but the world will remember, won't they? The world will remember. They remember the hurricane, people down there. We can say, oh, well, just a hurricane. But if you and I were down in the coast there, we wouldn't say it's just a hurricane. We'd be very conscious as we looked at everything flat that we had, leveled, nothing, just a hurricane. No, no, we feel it, we see it. That's the trouble. Until the fire gets to your house, we don't yell and get help. We let the fire keep coming and coming and coming. And that's what's happening to our country. It just keeps growing and growing. And by the time we see the fire enough and we yell help, the fire's all around us. And the 911 can't help us because we waited too long. And that's what's going to happen. But it's a wonderful thing, all of that. That's Revelation chapter 5. Now, so we're going to look to the Lord, and I will have a word of prayer and appreciate your patience. Hope you got a little bit. Our Father in God, we look to you to deal with us. God, as we remember you, as we are reminded of our unique relationship made possible by your death, burial, and resurrection, to be able to exercise that relationship that you have made possible because you've made it possible, and you make it possible and will make it possible. So God, thank you very much. So deal with us and those who know you not. God, convince the heart that they might receive you as their Savior. And our God, we thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.